is the Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. With growing concerns about identity theft, cybersecurity, and keeping your personal information safe from hackers, what's a consumer to do? If your personal information is compromised or you become a victim of a scam, where do you turn for help? This is National Consumer Protection Week, which aims to provide answers to questions like these. And joining us this afternoon to talk about available resources and your consumer rights and protections are U.S. Postal Inspector Kathy Wolling, a certified fraud examiner for the U.S. Postal Service in Cincinnati, Andrew Tinkham, Outreach and Education Program Specialist with the Office of the Ohio Consumers Council, and Sandra Guile, Community Outreach Specialist with the Cincinnati BBB. You can be part of the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Sandra, good to see you this afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are
Kathy,
you?
Kathy, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Andrew, thank you for joining us, too.
Thank you.
Catherine, let's start by talking about mail fraud. What exactly is mail fraud when we talk about this?
Well, basically, any scam, any type of scheme that would use United States mail, and doesn't have to start out that way. It can start out as telemarketing, individuals being called via the phone or being contacted over the internet. But some of the consumer frauds that we see where mail fraud is part of it is scams, that work-at-home scams, reshipping type scams, grandparent type scams. We also have foreign lotteries, investment scams. So any scam where the mail is used in furtherance of the scheme.
Grandparent scam was one of the types?
It is. The grandparents are usually contacted by scammers, con artists, and they're posing as the grandchild. So they are saying, So they are contacting the grandparents.
I need money. I need help.
It's urgent. I need money. I either need it for medical expenses or I need it for an attorney. And they're telling the con artist are posing as the grandchild, and they're saying, please send wire money or else mail us gift cards, money through the mail, so we can get the situation resolved. And usually they are acting on urgency and emotions. So the grandparents, and they're telling them not to contact the parents. It's a grandchild saying, don't contact my mom and dad.
I'll get in trouble, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. So don't do that. Just get me the money. And so they're either wiring it out. The most, I guess, fast way for them to get the money. So whether it's a gift card. And on the gift card, what we see is they'll tell them, iTunes gift card, $2,000 on a gift card, and then they will call them back and get the numbers off of the card, even though they tell them to go ahead and mail the gift card. So they're mailing the gift card, but then they are using the code off the back of the card to spend it immediately online. So they don't have to wait to receive the gift card.
So if you're a grandparent, you should be really suspicious if you get that kind of a
letter. Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. They need to be contacting mom and dad or another child to kind of bounce this off of them, or a friend or somebody.
You know, as far as mail fraud goes, Catherine, how prevalent is it? Is it a pretty common thing?
You know, mail fraud arrests are relatively low, but the types of investigations that inspectors can get involved with it's a large variety. We do see a lot, and we do see where the mail can – I mean, it's just the catalyst, I guess. It can be used in furtherance. It just needs to be in furtherance of the scam, no matter how it begins. So, and even though it may be – the arrest part may be low, we see that it affects multiple consumers. So one arrest, we could have anywhere from 10 victims to maybe thousands of victims. Mm-hmm. It just depends. So, and the financial loss could be devastating to a lot of them.
I just wonder how people think they can get away with doing this kind of thing.
It's usually greed, and it starts out, what we see, it starts out small. There, you know, they may be $10, $15, $20 from different people, but and they also know that people don't report it. So if you are scammed out of $20 or even $1,000, there may be an embarrassment factor where the individual doesn't report it to the Better Business Bureau or the FTC or the AG's office or the inspection service. So the scammers know. Probably 9 out of 10 aren't going to report the scam. So.
And not only that, but a lot of times, too, the thief is from outside of the United States.
Yes.
So they're really, really super hard to trace, because once that money has gone off that gift card, you're not going to get it back.
Right? Yeah. And part of the reason probably why there are not that many arrests made for mail fraud is as well.
Yes, because we do have partnerships.
Difficult to find them and prosecute mm-hmm. them.
We have partnerships outside the country, but it's not the easiest ones for us to go after as far as investigative wise.
If somebody does get prosecuted for mail fraud and convicted, what kind of penalty could they face?
So the penalty, it definitely could be a fine, up to $250,000. Most likely restitution's ordered back to the victims. Whether the victims see that or not, it depends on how much money the individual has left. And then it could lead up to 20 years in prison. So federally, it's a pretty big statute.
Pretty stiff.
Right.
Andrew, as far as the Office of the Consumers Counsel goes, what are some of the general scams that you see?
One scam that we're seeing is the emergency payment scam. The emergency payment scam is where a caller contacts a consumer and tells the consumer that they're going to disconnect their service within 30 minutes to an hour, and they state they're with the utility company. And what makes it bad is these consumers that have caller ID, they can use caller ID spoofing technology to make it really look like it is coming from the utility company. So we've had this emergency payment scam where consumers get these calls, they're threatened that their service is going to be disconnected in a short amount of time, and the scammer requests payment through a prepaid debit card or through a company gift card, like an Amazon or an iTunes. And so they give the customer the amount of time to go to the grocery store or the convenience store to get that payment, and then the scammer calls back to collect the numbers on the back of those cards. If a consumer would receive one of these calls, they should not act on it. They should hang up. And at that time, they want to contact their local utility company that the scammer posed as. And at that point, and they want to use the phone number that's on their utility bill. Don't use the number that's on their caller ID. Get a trusted number, at which point then the utility company would let the consumer know they do not have a disconnection notice. Because in Ohio, utilities don't disconnect service by calling someone and saying they're going to disconnect in 30 minutes to an hour. As I think Catherine was mentioning, they prey on fear.
Yeah, and it sounds like there's some common connections, too, between the types of scams that you're talking about. The fact that somebody would ask for a gift card from a retailer as
Correct.
A form of payment, that sounds like that should just be a huge red flag right there.
Absolutely.
And the other factor is, too, is they don't just use gift cards. They also use wire transfers. Go down and get a MoneyGram, go get a wire transfer, anything like that, to also expedite the process of either getting your power reconnected, whether it's air conditioning or heat. They'll strike during the dead of winter or the heat of the summer. As far as the grandparent scam or even through the sweepstakes lottery scam, mm-hmm. I think is another one that they use U.S. Postal Service for, too, won't
Absolutely.
They?
Absolutely. Yeah, on the sweepstakes and lotteries, a lot of times we're seeing actual cash being sent out. So it could be $2,000-$3,000, maybe more. We're lucky our postal employees are vigilant and they know our customers, and they do watch if someone elderly would come in. And it just seems odd that there may be mailing packages out of the state or constantly maybe overseas. They may call us and just say, something doesn't feel right about this. We don't know what's going on, but can you look into it? So absolutely. Foreign lotteries, we see a lot of the cash going through the mail on that.
There was a fascinating case that I heard about where a couple was asked to actually mail $10,000 inside of a magazine and use the Postal Service to send it to redeem their prize. Yes, it happens, Mark.
Okay. And at that point, you should be going, something's wrong here.
Yes.
Sandra, talk about getting a gut feeling about something being wrong. is that just generally, if it doesn't feel right?
If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Okay.
That really is a true statement. And that's where the Better Business Bureau kind of comes into play between the Ohio Consumer Counsel and the U.S. Postal Service. We're kind of like the viaduct between the two agencies, or the clearinghouse, if you will. We get a lot of people that do call in and say, I got this check in the mail, and it's for, maybe $30,000, and they want me to send part of it back to another address and then have me keep the rest, which is a really big red flag, because if you deposit it, it's going to bounce all over the place, and you're responsible for the fines and fees therein. Usually that happens for a whole bunch of different schemes, and it's usually a counterfeit check. So if you don't take it into the bank and have it checked out, more than likely you're going to be on the hook for a lot of problems and a lot of issues that you just don't want to deal with. Grandparent schemes, or we also get a lot of calls about, I went to this website, it doesn't seem right, can you check it out for me? Or I've got people that have called us that stating that, we've got this, we want to go buy a puppy or we would like to buy a puppy, and the website doesn't seem legit, but we've already sent $3,000, $6,000 for vet fees, for shots, for food, for a carrier and everything else. Turns out that it was a puppy scheme. So we're kind of the clearinghouse, and we point people to either the U.S. Postal Inspector Service if they're using the mail, or if they do receive that phone call, either you're a business or you're a homeowner, and they're saying, oh my gosh, they're going to turn off my electricity, my power, my heat, or whatever it is, and we refer them to the Ohio Consumer Council as well to say you need to report these, or the Attorney General's office. And that's a big part of what National Consumer Protection Week is about, is we're trying to raise the alarm, if you will, that there are people out there that want to take your personal information. They want to commit these schemes, but they're very, very slick about it. So if you're not sure, you can call us and we'll say, you know what, that kind of sounds kind of fishy. Report it to our Scam Tracker tool, which is a fabulous tool where you can report all of the details at scamtracker.org. And it's a tool that local, state, and federal law enforcement use it for criminal investigations, so they can track down the dishonest individual who is in fact committing these crimes. We've had, I believe, over 100,000 across the United States where all of our Better Business
Bureau. But that's scamtracker.org?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That just tells you how many people out there are telling us this information.
Andrew, when you get that somebody saying we're going to disconnect your utilities, there's a way the utility company will do that they'll send you certified mail, I think, before they actually, or they'll send you a letter saying that you're going to be disconnected, as opposed to just dropping this on you out of the clear blue sky.
Well, you're exactly right. They're not going to call and demand that payment in 30 minutes to an hour. There are laws in Ohio to protect customers before their service is disconnected. Year round, if a customer doesn't make a payment, the following bill will have a disconnection notice on it. And in Ohio, year-round, a utility must provide a 14-day disconnection notice before they'll disconnect the service. During the winter months, the utility companies must provide an additional 10-day notice. And the months for that would be November 1st through April 15th.
Andrew, how important is it for people to make sure they pay close attention to their utility bills, to read the fine print on those bills?
Oh, it's very important. And the reason for that, we talk about the disconnection scam. And obviously, you know, if you would have a disconnection issue, you want to be able to see that on your bill. But, you know, there's also many other charges on your bill that you need to look over. I think we get into the habit of getting our utility bills and looking at how much we need to pay and just sending the payment off. And it's very important to read through all the charges that are on our utility bill, because there is a scam that's called cramming. And cramming is where products and services are added to our utility bill without our authorization. And most times they're small in fee. So they're usually $5 or less, and they reoccur every month. And so that's where consumers really need to be careful when they look over, you know, when they get the utility bill. They should look over their bills and make sure they're not paying for services they never requested. Because if it does reoccur each month and you don't notice it for a year, and it's $5 a month, you've paid $60 for a service you never requested. And the reason that happens is your telephone bill and your energy companies, they bill for their services, but they also serve as a third-party biller, so they bill for other companies. And that's usually where we see cramming occur.
Is that a common tactic, Andrew, to small amounts that maybe people wouldn't pay any attention to, but before it's too late, it's built up to a large amount? Is that?
Well, you're exactly right. That's why they keep it at a minimum rate, because if someone gets their bill and they see that it's only went up $2 or $3 or maybe $5, they may not think much about it. But if it had went up $10, $15, $20, maybe they do start combing through their bill to see what could have occurred. If a customer would notice these charges, the first thing they want to do is call the company the charges are from. That should be listed on their utility bill. And that at that point, they can challenge those charges on their bill. If they're unable to get them resolved, they do have the option to call the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, and their phone number is 1-800-686-7826, and they can look into these issues consumers are unable to get resolved through the actual company.
Now, with the promise of warmer weather coming, and I firmly believe this, Andrew, are there going to be people knocking on your door trying to switch your utility bill too?
Definitely. As I always say, when the flowers start coming up is usually when the door-to-door salesmen start knocking on the door.
Now, is Sandra talking about slamming? Is that what she's talking about?
She is talking about slamming. You're exactly
okay.
Right.
Okay, then go ahead.
Slamming. Good, Mark.
Yeah.
I'm getting it, little by little.
Yeah, cramming and slamming, all these terms that sound very familiar. But slamming is actually when an energy company comes in and takes over your service without your authorization. So, you know, with companies like Duke Energy, you can shop for a different supplier to supply your actual electricity or natural gas. And what we've seen with the door-to-door salesman is, and this is not all door-to-door salesmen, I don't want to paint a bad picture for all of them, but we have seen cases where a door-to-door salesman will come to the door and they will ask for the account number on your utility bill, or they will ask to see your bill, at which point they can access your account number. And the reason why you don't want to give your account number out or let them see your bill is if they get that account number, that gives them the information they need to switch the service without your authorization. And just like we were talking with cramming and having a minimal fee for each service that might be crammed on your line, since these utility providers bill on your actual utility bill, if you don't look through your bill each month, you may not know that you're being billed by another company.
Steve, or Catherine, whoever happens to know this particular, I got a weird call from I don't know who it was, whether it was a person or a recording, and they asked me, can you hear me? This actually and I instinctively just went, yeah.
Oops.
Is that some kind of a scam that's going around?
I'll let Sandra talk on that.
That was very popular, I think, about January, February of last year. And it was the call, can you hear me now? Scam is what it was. And Andrew, you can feel free to chime in too. But essentially what it is that you're verbally agreeing to a contract, if you will. And it was for either a vacation package or car warranty package or cell phone package or something like that. And either that or you heard on the other end of the line, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with my headset. Can you hear me now? And what they would do is, you know, basically get you to say some kind of affirmative answer. And the trouble is, and actually our Better Business Bureau looked into it, and there was really no definitive way to really tie you to a contract with a verbal answer to it. So I don't know how much damage was really done to that. We're going to come out with a BBB risk report coming out this week talking about that very scam. But a lot of people got upset about it and reported it to our scam tracker report because they don't know what they were saying yes to and why they were getting inundated with additional calls after that.
Right, yeah.
But the bottom line is this. If you ever do get that type of call, try not to say yes.
So, no, I can't hear you. Andrew, you have any insights on that?
Well, just to kind of add to what Sandra was saying, is with the yes scam, you know, we just talked about slamming and cramming. The yes scam, that's one way that you could be slammed or crammed by adding these products and services to your line or being switched to another company. Because like Sandra said, you know, if someone calls you or a telemarketer calls you and asks if they can hear you and you say yes, they can record that yes and make it sound like you're agreeing to have a special type of caller ID on your telephone bill or you're switching to another supplier. So once again, you certainly don't want to say yes. I think it's tough because I think it's something you don't even think about when someone asks that type of question and what harm it could do.
It's super instinctive.
Right. It is, really.
It really is.
Very, very. And somebody had even mentioned it to me. And after I hung up from the call, I said, oh, I didn't do that.
What did I just do?
Yeah. Let's talk to Greg. Hi, Greg.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just have a cautionary tale and then a quick question. I have a rental property, and we had a new loan servicer take over the servicing for the loan. And they actually went back about 10 years to pull tax records for our property and then sent us a letter and said that our payment was going to go up by about $100 a month due to our taxes. This was completely fraudulent. It took us about 3 months to get this settled. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau helped us. We had to send letters to the loan servicer. A lot of paperwork to get this sorted out, and they finally admitted their mistake. But, of course, for 3 months, I had to pay the higher mortgage, which was eventually refunded from the loan servicer. I'm wondering why the current administration is trying to lessen the effects that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau can have in situations like this. That, I mean, this was a pretty big chunk of change for us every month. Luckily, it was sorted out, but I can't imagine that every time this happens to somebody, it ends as well as it did for us.
Yeah.
And I'll take comments off the air.
Thank you, Greg.
That is a really deep question.
That is.
Andrew, do you have any insight on that?
I don't. That's a little outside of my expertise.
I'm happy to look into it and see if there's anybody from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau who can answer that. And if there is anybody, I know, and Catherine is sitting going,
I have nothing to add
to
that.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, it's an excellent question and really one to really look into and do some research on that.
But meantime, there are enough other agencies that are working with things
absolutely.
Like this, Catherine's and Andrew's and yours, that, you know, there's help out there.
There is definitely help out there, and there's certainly answers. Certainly somebody at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that can probably answer that too.
Right.
And Catherine, if somebody wants to file a complaint over mail fraud, how do they do that?
First you can go to postalinspectors.uspis.gov, or you can call our 877-876-2455 phone number, and it will prompt you through to file a complaint. But we also encourage everyone to file complaints with the Better Business Bureau, the FTC, and the AG's office. And we encourage, no matter what the loss is or the attempted loss is, because that helps us when we're trying to generate our cases and determine the amount of victims that we have and the actual loss that we have. It does go towards the what their penalties could be. So we do encourage them.
And Andrew, real quickly, if they want to file a complaint with the Ohio Consumers Council?
Yes, they can give us a call at 1-877-742-5622.
Okay. Thank you very much, Andrew. And thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you.
U.S. Postal Inspector Kathy Wolling, a certified fraud examiner for the U.S. Postal Service in Cincinnati. Andrew Tinkham, Outreach and Education Program Specialist with the Office of the Ohio Consumers Council. And Sandra Guile, Community Outreach Specialist with the Cincinnati BBB. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition. The producer was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Josh Elstro was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney.